Well, it's good to see everybody again on a Friday evening. I'm going to be speaking tonight on the topic of the vanity of master bedrooms with a bad bathroom.
Preach it,
brother.
Amen.
Oh, man. Aren't there? No, please open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. Tonight, likewise, is my last opportunity to stand before you as an invited speaker, and so I do want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for this blessing. I thank you for hosting this conference. I send you greetings from the church in Gdańsk. They asked me, and they repeatedly asked me to remember to greet you all from the brethren in Gdańsk. And so you're greeted, and they wish you the very best. They wish God's blessing upon you. Just as you guys faithfully pray for us, our church, our assembly faithfully prays for you. We had a really good idea from the brethren in Torun, or now Olsztyn, where whenever they gather together on Wednesday nights, they have like a bunch of cards with different churches mentioned. And so we said we like that idea. So we do the same thing in our assembly. And obviously you're there. And so we pray for you every Wednesday night. My family and I, we pray regularly for you guys, faithfully. And so I hope that reassures you. I hope that's an encouragement to you, to know that you're not only working and assisting, but you are also being assisted in the Lord's work.
Amen.
And I haven't given a testimony of our work so far, and I want to use this opportunity and to tell you about Gdańsk. So 5 years ago, Steve Dalross and his wife and my wife Magdalena and I, we decided that our time in Łódź had finished. We'd done everything we could to spread the gospel there in Łódź. And unfortunately, we didn't have a church settled per se. But we did what we could, and it was definitely time to move on. And so we thought over everything that we had done. We learned some lessons. We noticed that we had made some mistakes, and so we decided to move to Gdańsk, and our plan and our strategy was to go to this new city and be there for 5 years, and we're going to preach the gospel. And after 5 years, whatever's there, we're going to leave it, we're going to put it in God's hand, and we're going to go to the next city. Because our goal, I should say my personal calling, my personal goal, is to reach all of the coast along from Gdańsk all the way over to Germany as part of my ministry. That's my field. That's a field that I've chosen, that I want to reach. In order to do so, I can't stay in every city 12 years, right? And so I said 5 years is about a reasonable amount of time that it might take a group of missionaries to preach the word fully in a city. And that was 5 years ago. And by God's grace, the Lord has just given us such a wonderful blessing. People have been saved, and we've seen fruit for our labor, and it's so refreshing to see men and women dedicate their lives to serving the Lord. And so we have a really, really good group of believers, and we love them, and I love your church, I love this church, and this is my church, but I so much love the church in Gdańsk. And just as a quick testimony, my daughter Kaya, she's turning 18 in a couple of weeks. Oh my goodness, 18. She just graduated from high school. She graduated top of her class. I'm just gonna throw that out there. It's very, very important information, you know. Yes. All of her life, since she was like 12, she had been planning on studying in Warsaw. She has two cousins her age, and they're gonna live with grandma, there in Warsaw, and they're gonna study together. They're gonna all three go to college together. But just a couple months before she graduated, she says, "Daddy, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm gonna study here in Gdańsk. And her number one reason was the church. And she wanted to stay there, and I wasn't even jealous. I was like, Mom and Dad, no. I was so thankful that she, and there aren't any people her age. You can testify to this, right? They're children, and then they're adults, but she just found her place, and she's found a ministry, and the church there is such a blessing. And so I'm refreshed, and I'm so thankful, to the Lord for allowing me to see His hand working, in us and through us and by us, and so we're very grateful. And we have men that are faithfully preaching the word. I've been here for just under a month now, for about 3 weeks. And I'm not even concerned with the preaching because I know that the men are taking care of the preaching. They're responsible. They're faithful. We have a group chat on WhatsApp, and every single day I receive a message. We're going to be preaching today at this time and this place. We're going to be preaching if anybody's interested, and they're sending pictures just as an encouragement. And so it's such a breath of fresh air. And wow, what a blessing. And just know that this is your doing. This is your work too. You have fruit in this labor. This is thanks to you as well. So we're very blessed. And I said 5 years. However, COVID happened. So that kind of slowed in my mind. It slowed down the work, at least for part of the time, not for the full year. But Magda and I have started praying already this year. And our plan, Lord willing, is to start preaching in another city. The city is Gdynia. It's another name that you have to learn. So now we have Gdańsk, we have Gdynia, we have Torun, we have Olsztyn, we had Łódź, and we had Warsaw. So, hey, your Polish is improving. Yes, there you go. Oh, good for you. So, but Gdańsk is part of a tri-city. So Gdańsk is the major city, and then there's Sopot, which is a very small city of about 70,000 people, and then there's Gdynia, which is 350,000 people. And where we live, if you go to the right, 10 minutes by car, it's Gdańsk. If you go straight, 10 minutes by car, it's Sopot. If you go 10 minutes to your left by car, it's Gdynia. So in reality, we don't even have to move. It saves us on the expense and the difficulty. We don't have to have our kids in a different school. It's very practical. And that's our plan, and that's what we're praying for, and we really, really ask and pray that you pray for us in this. And here's what we want. We don't want to go alone. We're not interested in moving to the city by ourselves. So our specific prayer is that God will raise up a family or families to join us in 2024 at the end of the summer. All right? At the end of this next summer, that's whenever we want to start our new ministry. And what does that mean? Essentially that I'm recruiting you guys, anybody. So if you're interested, and just let's have a very short practical lesson. Please repeat after me. Jesus. 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 Out loud. Come on, guys, you can do it. Jesus. Jesus. Jest.
Yes.
Beautiful. Panem.
Panem.
Jesus jest Panem.
Jesus
is Lord.
Amen.
Oh, you don't have to repeat that. That's a translation. Remember the first night? Raise your hand if you come from a family. Half of the assembly, right? Okay. All right. So anyway, so hey, first lesson, you passed it. Very nice. Very nice. Biblia.
Biblia.
Biblia. Jest.
Yes.
Słowem.
Słowem.
Bożym. The Bible is the Word of God. There you go. You see, Polish isn't that hard. I don't know what people have been saying all this. I don't know. We're just like, I think we're just trying to make you guys feel sorry for us. I think that's what it was. You see, I know several people that went over there. My parents went over to Poland. They learned Polish. Joe and Debbie went over there. They learned Polish. Josh went over there. He learned Polish. I went over there. I learned Polish. Jenny went over there. She learned Polish. Amanda went over there. She learned Polish. Melissa went over there. She learned Polish. It's a funny, I think Billy Kincaid went over there in 1994. He learned a couple of phrases, and every time that I come back, he says something to me in Polish. He was there for what, 2 weeks? He learned maybe 2 weeks, and he learned Polish like 30 years ago. Man, you guys can learn Polish. All you gotta do is sit down and study it. And if you're worried about making mistakes, let me just throw something out there. You make mistakes in English. You don't even speak your own language well. All right, you don't speak good English. Okay, so don't worry about making a mistake in a foreign language. As a matter of fact, whenever you come over there. And you start speaking to a Pole in Polish, however broken it might be, people are going to appreciate the fact that you're trying to learn the third most difficult language in the world. Okay? They will love you for it. Just like we have people who have come from Mexico and have lived here for some time and they speak English and we're like, hey, good job. And we don't care that they speak a little bit different or with an accent. We appreciate the fact that they've learned English, right? Remember last year, was it Brother Marcos, right? He came up. Wasn't that a blessing that he stood here and he spoke? Did anybody say, oh, shut up, man, your English is bad? No, we love that. And it's the same thing for over there. So a little bit of study. What, Joe, and you guys started learning Polish, you studied it for what, 6 months, 9 months? 9 months? 9 months? 9 months? 4 hours a day. It was a full-time job. 4 hours of practical lessons, and then 4 hours of homework. And now, I mean, everybody went over there speaks Polish, and I have a tremendous blessing to have been a teenager when I went over there, so I have an advantage. My wife is Polish as well, so I have a lot of practice, and if you're a single man, there's a lot more Magdas over there, yes. If you know what I mean, yes, there you go. Although, I have to say, I think the best two have already been taken. You're welcome, Magda. Yes, there you go. So that's my wife and Josh is Magda, yeah. And so that's our prayer. We really want to go with another family. And this is a matter, this is a very important matter. I don't think we will go. I will take it as a sign of the Spirit saying don't go if we don't have a family. And so this is very important. We're praying fervently that God will lead us and God will give us a partner. On top of that, and this is another prayer request, we want not only an American family to go with us, but we also want a Polish family to go with us. Just as when we went to Gdańsk, Steve and I, we didn't go by ourselves. We went with two Polish men to start the work. And we did it not just coincidentally. Acts chapter 20, mentions seven of Paul's co-workers. All of the cities that he preached in during his missionary journey, were cities, that the men that were co-workers of Paul were from. And so there is a certain advantage of preaching the gospel to a certain people, in this case to the Poles, and having a Pole with you. It's not a foreign work. It's not somebody from the other side of the ocean that's coming over here. It's their work as well. And I've seen in Poland, in Gdańsk, I'm sorry, that this has been a great, great asset and benefit to our assembly in Gdańsk. And so I like that principle. I like that idea. And so we're praying specifically for those two things. And so please pray for these two things. One, that God will raise up another missionary family to join us next year in Gdynia, and also a Polish family there. What else? There was something else I wanted to say. Must not have been important. Or I was just lazy and I didn't write it down. Proverbs 25 and verse 25, just a short message. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. This simile here, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, is something that you as San Antonians or Texans can appreciate very, very much. I think it causes a little bit of confusion for Magdalena. She's like, what? Cold water? For Poles in general, they don't like the idea of cold water. True story. In the middle of summer, I was standing in line at a McDonald's, and the woman in front of me and her husband and their child, the child was like 5 years old, they ordered like a Happy Meal. And she was adamant about the server not giving the Coke with ice. She said, don't put any ice in it. Mm-hmm. And not only did she receive her Coke without any ice, but she requested the woman to give her a little bit of hot water to put into the Coke. Gross, because my child might get sick, she might get a sore throat, you know, if the water's too cold. Just like what? Well, I was going to say something, but I'm afraid that, better not. Yeah. So anyways, cold waters, there's nothing like going outside after the morning service, 100 degrees, you get into your car, opening up your Yeti. I got a Yeti last year, and this was amazing. Actually, it was in SeaWorld. We had been there all day, and it was really hot. We got into the car. The car inside was like 160 degrees, it felt like. And we took that Yeti. It was still icy cold. And just took a drink. Oh, and you can feel it, right? It's so refreshing. Oh, what a blessing. It's like the heat, it doesn't even matter anymore. As a matter of fact, it makes this drink so much better, right? The heat compared to the cold, it just a perfect combination. Another verse that confuses Poles is Matthew chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus goes out of his way to say that the Mexicans and Poles are crazy. And whenever he says that anyone who gives a child, gives a glass of cold water shall in no wise lose his reward. A glass of cold water, right? Remember I told you the first time that I preached, God isn't interested in nouns and verbs. He's interested in adjectives and adverbs. Cold water is the key word, yeah? But anyways, just that same picture, right? That cold water on this hot summer day for you. It's so refreshing. It's so good. It's so satisfying. Equally as satisfying is good news from a far country. And just three very, very quick points. Good news, there is good news from heaven for sinners. I don't know if you're saved here or not, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior or not, if you've been born again. But if you're not, let me tell you something. There is good news from God Himself for you. For you. The price of your soul has been paid for in full.
Amen.
God has spilled His own blood on the cross of Calvary to redeem your soul.
Thank you, Lord.
He paid for every sin, for every transgression, for every fault that you've ever committed and that you might ever commit. It's paid in full.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
It's paid in full for you as a token of His love for you. His pure love for you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Second of all, another piece of good news for you, dear sinner. The devil, death is a destroyed or a defeated enemy. I know that you who have not been born again are fearful of death because you don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't have any assurance. You live in doubt your whole life and you hope, you cross your fingers, or in Poland you hold your thumbs, right? This is another Polish thing. You hold your thumb. It's wishful thinking that, oh, maybe perhaps I might get into heaven by some good charm, by some good luck. But listen, death is a conquered enemy, and Jesus Christ defeated death by himself. And thanks to his death and resurrection, you have the right to live if you only trust and believe in his name.
Amen.
And the third piece of good news from a far country is this. Jesus' tomb is empty.
Amen.
He's alive forevermore. He's alive forevermore. You can go to every cemetery in this world, whether it be here in San Antonio, down in Mexico, wherever you want, and people that die do not get up. They do not rise. They lay in the grave until they rot. Jesus' tomb is empty.
Amen, amen.
And he's never, ever, ever going to die again. And that is the basis on which you can trust him fully, because he overcame death, and he is alive evermore. And he entered into heaven. He offered God his own blood, and it was accepted by the Father. So you have a sacrifice that is accepted by your Creator, and you have a promise from God the Father that anybody who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus, as the brother said, shall be saved. There's good news for you if you're a sinner. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You shall be saved, right?
Amen.
So that is great news for you. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation is for any sinner. It doesn't matter what you've done. The Bible says that this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come to save the good, the faithful, the religious. He came to save sinners. If you're a sinner, this is great and faithful news for you. Jesus Christ is here to save you. He is offering you his salvation. So the second piece of good news, it's directed to the saints of God, to the children of God. The good news is this. Very soon, everything that you've experienced, it's going to bear fruit. One of these days, the day is coming whenever you are going to be vindicated.
Amen.
I know that you have experienced some hardship. I know that you've gone through some very, very difficult times for you. I know that your marriage is not what you expected. I know that your children are not what you expected. I know that their lives have been taken from you. But the Bible tells us, gives you a promise from God who cannot lie, that one of these days he is going to make the crooked pathways straight, and he is going to restore the years. He is going to restore the years. One of these days you will be vindicated. Let me just read that verse for you, because I want you to remember this. I know you know it, but I want to remind you. The Bible says that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is something working in us, a far better glory than what we see now.
Amen.
All right? So Jesus also tells us in the book of John, he tells us this great and marvelous news, and it should refresh you as much as that cold water does the thirsty soul. Let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Don't allow your heart to be troubled. You have to pay attention, because there is reason, there are temptations to be troubled, right? There's an occasion for you to be troubled, but Jesus admonishes you, say, don't let it, don't allow your heart to be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also, that there ye may be also. And so Jesus Christ is coming sooner than you think. He's coming, and the purpose of his coming is to receive you unto himself. And he's preparing a place specifically and especially for you so that you can be for eternity with him. If you are his child, if you've been born again. And one more piece of great news for you, dear saint of God. It's found in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. God is not unrighteous, dear child of God. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. I know that it's wearisome. I know that it's trying. I know that it's difficult. Sometimes your service for God goes unnoticed. Unfortunately, service, the job of a servant is an unthankful, it's a thankless service. It's a thankless job, right? By fellow laborers, by those that are our overseers who think that they're higher than us. But dear saint of God, it doesn't go unnoticed by God. God is not unrighteous to not notice your work and your labor of love that you have performed. So that is great news, and it should refresh your heart and encourage you to continue to labor for his name. There is one more piece of good news, and this is, it goes a little bit different. It's directed in a different way. Imagine a door. There's an entrance, right? Doors function as entrances as well as exits, right? And so a far country, the Bible says that we're ambassadors. An ambassador's job is to carry a message and then also to bring back a message. Right? And so, dear saint of God, dear fellow laborer of the Lord, we have a message for heaven itself. We can deliver a message to heaven ourselves. And we can refresh our Savior, our Captain, our Lord, just as He refreshes us. Okay? How is that? Well, sinners have repented. Amen. Your preaching, your investment has made a difference in the lives. Well, look at all of these people here. Look at yourselves. Look around. It's made a difference in your lives. Your investments and your fervent prayers and your dedication and your faithfulness has co-worked or co-labored or cooperated together with the preachers that have gone out. And look at those banners back there. It's full of people that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as you know him, right? The Bible says that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And so you can bring joy to heaven. You can sound the news out that souls are being saved. It was a very peculiar question that Joe asked us during the fellowship in the morning, just a couple of days ago. Of all of the cities that the missionaries out of this church have been sent out to, of all of the cities that they've been sent out to, with all of the pluses and the minuses, the successes and the defeats and the joys and the sorrows, is there a city in which those, in all of the cities that the gospel is preached, is there not a church? In all of the cities that we've gone to, a church has been established. That was an absolutely fascinating observation, right? Look at that tree right back over there. See that branch? It started out just as one. And now it's branched off. And now there are how many churches in Mexico? How many churches in Poland? And who knows? Who knows what the future holds? We can cry out to God and we can tell the Lord, Lord, look at what we're offering you. We're offering you the souls of men that you died to redeem. Your job in sending us, dear God, is bearing fruit for your glory and for your honor. That is wonderful. I think something that we can relay to heaven are the words of the Apostle Paul. I finished my course. We can boast to heaven before Christ, Lord, I've been faithful in the things that you've commanded me. I finished my course, not only grudgingly, not only barely, not only like crawling in the last energy, but I finished my course with joy. Right? And that was his prayer. We can pass on the message, or we can bring the message that the pound or the talent that God has left us with has gained 10 or 5 or 2. Amen. We have and we are fulfilling our duty and our mission. And that is something that we should be mindful of. We don't have to always be negative and say, we have to do something. Hey, souls are being won. We are doing something. The fastest growing religion in the world is which one? The evangelicals, right? Christianity is advancing. There is something being done and you have a part in it. That's something to hold on to. That's something to cherish. I want to just finish by reading this. I would sing it, but you don't want me to sing it. Could it be that up in heaven, God is sitting on his throne, anticipating another sinner will soon become his own? Years of wasted living and years of toil and strife are just about to be over as he receives the gift of life. Go sound the horn, strike up the choir. A sinner is saved, saved from the fire. No more in darkness, he's received my son. All heaven rejoices. That's the value of one. And that is good news from a far country. May the Lord richly bless you, and thank you once again for all of your help.
Thank you, Corey.